Hi, boys and girls. Like you, Santa is listening to the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. Oh, 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 oh.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock.
Merry Christmas and welcome to this, the 20th episode of the Merry Little Podcast of MyMerryChristmas.com. My name is Jeff Westover, founder of the Feast at My Merry Christmas, where we have been making merry since 1991, making this our 26th year. Feasting is on the brain in this episode. In fact, the love of Thanksgiving has taken an almost militant turn this year, as we are seeing open rebellion against Christmas, all in the name of preserving Thanksgiving. Target, of all people, declared war on the bogus notion of Christmas creep by saying they wouldn't be skipping Thanksgiving this year. Of course, if you go into their stores right now, they remain full of Christmas stuff, and Target, as usual, will be open on Thanksgiving Day. Way to celebrate it, guys. Target, however, is just mirroring a general trend, an anti-Christmas more than a pro-Thanksgiving trend. This has been growing for several years as the media falsely claims that Christmas comes earlier and earlier every year, as if that's a bad thing. Well, not this year, sad to say. Costco skipped the Christmas trees in July and waited until September to put them out this year, and the big layaway programs of Kmart and Walmart all skipped the post-Labor Day fanfare of recent years. In fact, I'll be told Christmas so far in 2017 has been fairly subdued, if this is what you count as Christmas, the stuff that goes on in stores. Well, that's about to change, of course, as the date of this recording is around the 9th of November, and Christmas music is starting to be piped into the stores on radio stations, and the talk of lights and decorations and Santa Claus begins to grow. Christmas is here, even in the midst of Thanksgiving. Those fighting it take up the battle for Thanksgiving. Do they really know what it is that they're talking about? Well, that's what this little episode is all about, the real history of Thanksgiving and the crap you're going to hear about it in the next couple of weeks. In fact, we're a little hot about it, to tell you the truth. The truth of the matter is that, at least in America, Thanksgiving and Christmas have gone together like peanut butter and chocolate since almost the very beginning. For those so-called fans of Thanksgiving, few know the true story of it and how it has always been tied to Christmas. So we're going to do some myth-busting of historians and Thanksgiving in this episode, and we're going to do it on the strength of the media. No, not the media of today, who is about as anti-Christmas as any element of modern society. No, we're going to use the historic media of the 1600s, 1700s, and 1800s to make the case, as well as some journal quotes, perhaps, from people who recorded Christmas and Thanksgiving together from the days of old. By the time we're done, we think you're going to rethink Thanksgiving especially. Here's the first thing you need to know about Christmas history in America. The word Christmas, even among the Puritans, was not a dirty word. Christmas was celebrated famously among the first explorers to America. Columbus himself wrecked a ship on Christmas Day in what we now call Cuba, and subsequently named the settlement that he put at that spot La Navidad, or Christmas. People knew about Christmas, and they were divided over it. There's nothing new or old about that. The pilgrims to the north, known as Puritans, didn't like Christmas, or at least Christmas as it was celebrated, while their English cousins to the south loved Christmas and made all kinds of merry, even bringing the first eggnog to American shores in 1608. What did these two worlds and attitudes about Christmas have in common? Well, what they had in common was called Thanksgiving, which was really an English declaration of good news. If you go back in history to the British Empire, it was common to hear the governor of this colony declare a general day of Thanksgiving for, I don't know, having won a battle, or for the birth of a new prince, or whatever. In fact, whenever there was good news for the collective to celebrate, a general day of Thanksgiving was declared. Well, what did that mean? It meant, first, a call to attend church and to give prayers of thanks for whatever good news was. Second, it meant a day off, a holiday. No working, no trade, no business whatsoever. After church, instead of going to work, people would go to prepare a feast and then they would spend the remainder of the day making merry with family by visiting, dancing, singing, and playing games. This happened for hundreds of years, long before the American colonies were indeed colonies of Great Britain. It was customary, especially, to celebrate a general day of Thanksgiving at the end of a harvest, which could begin as early as September in the far north and later towards December in the far south. The Puritans occupying what we now call New England in the 1600s did not celebrate Christmas, at least not as everyone else of their time did. They wanted nothing to do with what Christmas had become, which was really a riotous holiday filled with roaming bands of miscreants who would loot homes and businesses, drunkenly parade in the streets, and in places where it would get really bad, involve themselves in immoral sexual acts. As we have documented many times before, however, the Puritans of New England were not completely devoid of Christmas. They generally still went to church. What they didn't do on Christmas was, quote, make merry, unquote. And why? Well, that's what Thanksgiving was for. Every time a royal governor declared a general day of Thanksgiving, the Puritans of New England gathered, ate, and partied, with gunfire, fireworks, the works. In fact, one writer in a newspaper in 1704 said, in New England, Thanksgiving was Christmas for the Puritans. That's when they had their fun. Historians will tell you that the events of 1621 and the famous Pilgrim First Thanksgiving was a one-off event. Even on the Smithsonian website, it says that. That's myth number one that we bust. We have on record a Thanksgiving recorded in 1644 for a victory over the Indians, and 1645, a Thanksgiving was called for the Great Indian Treaty of Fort Amsterdam. In 1654, it was for peace in England. In 1661, it was for the end of yet another war. Little by little, this idea of only one Thanksgiving celebrated in the 17th century is fading. And in fact, more and more we see support for the idea that Thanksgiving happened at least once a year, in the fall, usually November, and it happened during special events during other times of the year.
What do you mean you cooked the turkey, Charlie?
Well, I cooked the turkey, that's all.
You put our national bird in the oven, is that correct?
Yeah, well,
I... And all of us had our mouths set for roast eagle with all the trimming.
Yeah, well, I...
You did a thing like that?
Well, the two birds were lying there side by side.
The turkey was for the centerpiece, Charlie. I mean...
Well, they look so much alike
we blew it now. They're all sitting down at the table out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Started on their little nut cup. Already. We just have to switch the birds, that's all.
Yeah, well...
Serve them turkey instead of eagle. But it's kind of scrawny looking, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I thought I'd stuff some old bread in it and make it look a little fatter.
You do that, okay?
Okay.
Thanksgiving today is about food, and that part of it has never changed, and it's hardly ever been disputed. Well, except for the bit about the turkey. Historians just seem to be caught up with the idea that for some reason, turkey was not there at the first Thanksgiving. And my first question to that would be, why does this matter? Well, in a modern world caught up in eating well, perhaps not eating meat, maybe following the PETA idea of tofu turkeys, maybe stating the fact that turkey is what really makes Thanksgiving all America just bothers them. I don't know. But from this little poem, written in the 18th century and published in 1750, we can see rather plainly how early Americans felt about turkey. It is called An Ode to Turkey, and it goes like this. Turkeys who have nobly bled, turkeys who on corn have fed, welcome to us, now you're dead, and in the frost have hung. Now's the day and now's the hour, through the market how we scour, seeking turkeys to devour, turkeys old and young. Who would be a turkey hen, fed and fattened in a pen, killed and eaten by hungry men? Can you tell, I pray? Lay the proud old turkeys low, let the young ones run and grow, to market they're not fit to go, till next Thanksgiving Day.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey. I love you. to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat, so good.
Written histories will tell you that turkey wasn't at the first Thanksgiving and wasn't really associated with later Thanksgiving until the 1840s, when it was written about in a woman's magazine called Godey's Lady's Book. And that, my friends, is just a lie. In fact, if you go through the old newspapers of America, you'll find plenty of references to turkey and Thanksgiving. In the Boston Commercial Gazette of December 14, 1801, they gave, much like the media does today, some numbers relative to Thanksgiving in terms of food consumed. Go ahead and Google it. You'll find that in America today, we consume upwards of 50 million turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. Lots of websites share that fact and many others related to food and Thanksgiving. In 1801, they estimated that more than 250,000 families in New England alone were celebrating Thanksgiving, and they consumed more than 250,000 turkeys or goose, more than a million pairs of chicken, and, get this, at least 10 pumpkin pies to a family, or 2.5 million overall for Thanksgiving. Well, I'll get back to turkey in just a second, but I want to talk about pumpkin for a second. I could not believe how much pumpkin was quite nearly worshipped as a seasonal treat for those who celebrated Thanksgiving in the 18th and 19th centuries as I searched for it. I found recipes and entire poems devoted to pumpkin pie. I kid you not. You'll find a lot of historians and even cooking websites that share histories of pumpkin who will kind of dilute it and say that our progenitors would hollow out a pumpkin and fill it with sweet cream and milk. And maybe some of them did that, but the truth is that the pies overall were a Yankee tradition from as far back as we could look. Apple pies, berry pies, mince pies, pies of meats with chicken, beef, and turkey. But none of them, for all that tradition in pie making, held the esteem of tradition like pumpkin pie. In an edition of a newspaper in Newark, New Jersey, of all places, in 1792, we have another estimation of the numbers of Thanksgiving, but with a twist this time. A bachelor estimated how many turkeys, apple pies, and pumpkin pies would be consumed, but he left it to a married man to determine how much all of that stuff cost. The figure by the bachelor was that they would consume more than 1 million pumpkin pies in 1792. And that is the only number on the whole list that the married man disputed. And he put it at closer to more than 4 million pumpkin pies, saying, and this is a quote, "For the honor of New England, we cannot eliminate 3,028,328 pies at less than 3 cents each." For whatever reason, pumpkin pie was just devoured in huge numbers at Thanksgiving in old America. Another myth we need to bust is this idea that Thanksgiving and all that was associated with it were really only celebrated in New England until it was finally made a national holiday well after the mid-19th century. That is just not true. In fact, the love of Thanksgiving and pumpkin pie, coincidentally, comes from a post-revolution newspaper in Georgia, where the editor noted that, quote, "He always makes it a rule on Thanksgiving to have one pumpkin pie made large enough to hold the baby, and he lets the little critter eat his way out." In some ways, you can say the traditions of Thanksgiving were stronger outside of New England. A newspaper ad from Savannah, Georgia, again, notes that the bank there would be closed every Thanksgiving and Christmas, and this was in the year 1760. The one element of Thanksgiving, besides pumpkin pie, that was purely American was the turkey. And there are very simple reasons why the turkey has been a Thanksgiving staple from the very beginning. First of all, turkeys are native to North America and usually found in nearly every state of the Union in their wild state. In fact, New England was so thick with them that it was frequently published how settlers could deal with aggressive turkeys who would invade farms and crops and bother children. Hunting turkeys was just one way to deal with that problem, so they made a natural centerpiece to a Thanksgiving feast. But there's another reason they proved so popular, even more so than the English goose of holiday tradition of yore, or the plentiful chicken, the poor man's fare. A turkey could simply feed more people, and most families at the time would have an average of 8 to 10 children, and it wasn't unusual for multiple generations of family to gather together. In fact, head on over to our website where we have posted the Thanksgiving story that comes from a newspaper in 1824 called Josiah, His Turkeys, and His Sweetheart. It is a delightful glimpse of Thanksgiving in the 18th and 19th centuries before it was officially a holiday, as well as a great story of falling in love. Surely to be one of several unique stories of Thanksgiving that we'll be posting at My Merry Christmas this year. Oh, one final point. What does all this Thanksgiving stuff have to do with Christmas? Well, folks of the old days recognized then what we do now, that Thanksgiving and Christmas belong to each other. Earlier we told you about one writer who called Thanksgiving the Great Christmas of New England. He wryly noted that Thanksgiving was for acknowledging the hand of God, while Christmas was for celebrating the divinity of Christ. In the most recent episode of the Merry Podcast, we share a bit about the song Over the River and Through the Woods, which is actually based on a children's poem written in 1844, again, long before the standing tradition of Thanksgiving was declared a holiday. Most people back then knew that poem, which clearly cheered Thanksgiving, which clearly cheered pumpkin pie, of all things. And it was all a tribute to Thanksgiving. But most folks today know that poem as a Christmas song, and that's because it was set to music in the late 19th century. One of the friends of Lydia Maria Child, who wrote that poem, was asked if it would bother her that Thanksgiving was changed to Christmas in the musical version of the poem, and the answer, very wisely, was, "What's the difference?" To that we say amen. For all of us at the Merry Forums of My Merry Christmas, this is Jeff Westover wishing you and yours a very Merry Christmas.